Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about the coming move of God.
Amen.
I know this is something that we really enjoy talking about, Steve and Pat, and I know that we're so excited for that day, you know, because we love to see people come into the kingdom of God and make Jesus Lord, but we love to see transformation in the hearts of people. A lot of times people want to see behaviors change in someone's life, but that's just behavior modification. Mm-hmm. That's not transformation. God calls us, you know, to be transformed. That means change. We go through a metamorphosis. We were one thing and then we become something else. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and there's nothing more exciting than to see Jesus glorified in the hearts of men and to be in his presence and his glory. You know, I come to realize that many people that haven't encountered God's presence in a tangible and awesome way, they can't connect like to heaven. In their mind, they wonder, those that don't know God, like, well, what are you going to do in heaven? Understand that once you've encountered God, once you've been in his presence, you never want to leave. You want to spend eternity in his presence. You want to spend eternity worshiping him and just glorifying him and being in his awesome presence. There's no feeling like it. It is the most amazing thing that you can encounter in your life. And the Bible tells us that we go from glory to glory. I mean, one moment in his presence can change anything. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. There's things that happen in the spiritual realm when we encounter the glory of God. Things come off of us. You know what I'm saying? Demons flee. And we need more of his presence. We need to live more in that reality than the reality we live in on everyday life. We can experience, we can encounter the presence of God. And we're carriers, we're kingdom containers. And we can release the kingdom anywhere we are because the king is with us.
Yeah, it's powerful. Like you're saying, you know, where the Spirit is, that's where the freedom is, liberty and freedom. And what I think about is just like God can do in one moment, you know, what can't be done in a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. And it's just like, you know, we've talked about it before. It's just like, imagine the coming harvest. Imagine, just take the roof off of your thinking and begin to have vision for what God wants to do, the coming harvest. And what comes to mind, even as we think about this and as we're talking about this, we've had a couple discussions about Rick Joyner's book, The Harvest. And in one of those things, Rick Joyner talks about how God, it's not going to be like in past movements where you've seen the one evangelist or the one prophet or whoever do mighty works. It's just like God's going to raise up a generation of just the mighty ones, and you're going to see children lay their hands on a hospital building, and the whole building is going to be healed. And it's just like, just begin to think bigger. Begin to think about what God wants to do an entire generation. And it's like what he can do in one moment of your life is going to be greater than what you can even fathom.
Yeah.
And have that hunger. And it's just like, what my prayer has been, it's just like, God, get me out of my mindsets and just get me into you. Because so often it's just like what we've been talking about. There's so many things that limit us. But oftentimes what can limit us more than anything is basically our own thinking, our own selves. And it's just like, just get lost in God and go after God.
Yeah. It's so important because we have to take the lid off. You know, so many times we limit God because we have the Lord in a box. We measure him to a certain degree. There's so many things that we don't know of God. I was having this conversation with my son this morning where he was asking all of me these deep theological questions, you know, and I'm like, you know, son, it will wreck your mind trying to figure everything out about God. You can spend all your time trying to figure him out, or you can take that time and believe God's word and move in faith. There's things that we just don't know about God, and we can spend eternity discovering and encountering God. We're talking about space and galaxies and planets and all this type of stuff that young, you know, young boys want to talk about. And I said, you know, it was only because of telescopes that at one time we know that there's a galaxy and a moon and Mars and Pluto and all that. There's, because someone, you know, there was an invention that came out and it was a telescope and we're able to see that. But prior to that, man did have no awareness of the galaxies.
Right.
They had no awareness of Pluto. There was no awareness. And they lived life without that revelation. How many things are we living life today that we know no idea about?
Wow.
That we're going to come into a fuller revelation and awareness at the proper and appointed time. And it's funny you're talking about hunger because, you know, that's what moves God. Hunger, desire, a yearning. And some of the things that we got to be careful about is the trappings of this world. But, you know, we're talking about the coming move of God and those that are going to be used in this kingdom, you know, to bring in those folks in the kingdom. And Steve, you're exactly right. It's going to be an army of nameless and faceless people, spiritual army, okay, a spiritual army. And it reminds me of a prophetic word that Bob Jones shared. I wish we had the video for you. We don't, but I'll tell you what he said. He said that the harvest of harvesters has already begun. The harvest of harvesters. The harvest is going to be so large that we have to start bringing in the harvesters first. Those that are going to go in and bring this harvest in. There's so, we're talking about harvest. We're talking about souls. We're talking about people that are going to come to the saving knowledge of God. One day they're going to be living for the world, Satan, and going to hell. The next day they're going to be living for God, living for him and going to heaven and impacting this earth for him. And there's nothing more exciting to see the move of God, to experience the move of God. We're going to see unprecedented power, signs, and wonders. And they're not, the miraculous is not for the sake of putting on a show, but all signs and wonders are for a specific reason. Signs and wonders do things. Signs point to something. You know what they point to? In this case, they point to Jesus, his supremacy, his lordship, his majesty. He is truly the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And we want to bring the whole world to his feet. And it's just some exciting, exciting days. You know, I think about Acts chapter 2. And verse 42, it says this about the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's so full because it was all about the apostles' teaching, revelation that was coming forth, but it was also koinonia, the fellowship of the brethren. God has designed us to have a desire for God, but also to have a true, genuine desire, fellowship, koinonia, with the body of Christ, that no man is an island, no man is alone, and that when we come together, we bring the full counsel of God. Because you come with your abiding experience with God, you come with your abiding experience, God, we all come together collectively, and we're all hearing, because we know in part, we, you know, and then together, we encounter God in a greater dimension. So beautiful. But it says, everyone was filled. Think about this. Everyone, not some. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Every day they met together in the temple courts and they continued to meet in homes. And I think about, that's what revival looks like. When God is so present in power, and people turn to him with such radical devotion, with such sincere, loving hearts. It's one thing just to hear a message. It's one thing just to hear the word of God. But it's another thing to allow the message, the truth of God's word, to penetrate your heart, to bring true transformational change. You know, people often boast about change. They boast about transformation, but the only one worthy of true transformation is the King of Glory. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that can bring true change. But when revival comes, when the awakening comes, all people want to do is be with God. Wherever there's a meeting, people want to gather. And they want to be with those that love God. And I think about during the days of the Brownsville Revival, I remember revival ending at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning at times. And then you had all these people, thousands of them, that have just been charged by the presence of God. They've been encountered the Lord. They've given their lives to God. Maybe they got a healing. There's so many things that happens in on any given, you know, night, any given meeting. And you have now thousands of people loose at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So what do? They invade the Denny's and all the restaurants. All right. And they start eating. And you see an entire restaurant. I remember night after night, it was hilarious. Restaurant, people testifying about what happened that night. And the waitresses are being prayed for. And such a joyous encounter. And they're feasting and they're fellowshipping. And some people are still manifesting in chairs and just laughing. And it was just beautiful. And you go, and everyone goes to work the next day, and then you're talking about, hey, did you hear what happened? This person got saved, or did you hear about that miracle? Or did you hear, oh my goodness, what? And you're anticipating with great faith, what is God going to do tonight? Mm-hmm. See, the centerpiece is not a preacher. The centerpiece is not a person. You know, a human person, the centerpiece is Jesus Christ and his lordship. God is the center attraction. And when he shows up and it invades a city and invades a group of people or a region or a country, watch out, because it's just miraculous and beautiful what happens. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to share on this coming move of God and how we can stir our hunger and get full of faith with great anticipation for what God's getting ready to do. We're talking about the coming move of God. And I'm just, man, I'm excited right now.
Get stirred up. Oh, yeah.
You get stirred up in faith because you remember the days of outpouring. Mm-hmm. And you eagerly anticipate living under the canopy of his presence and the awe factor that will God do it again? Mm-hmm. Because we're not talking about just an encounter. We're not talking about just a feeling. We're talking about the invasion of God. We're talking about when God shows up and overtakes, and that the presence of the Lord and the conviction of God is so strong that people just want to get right with God. They want to get right with God. Mm-hmm. And he you know, he's so awesome. He demands our allegiance. And I think for quite a while, we're seeing an American gospel that comes out that says you can give your life to Jesus, and it's like an upgrade. It's an accessory. It's a download, if you will, a patch, so that you can better your life, not understanding that Jesus doesn't come to better your life. He comes to take over your life. Mm-hmm. Big difference.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an upgrade. This is a radical shift. You are dethroning yourself and declaring him king, Lord of your life. And then you decide, make a decision that you're going to become a follower of him, that you're pledging your life, your honor, you're pledging everything to the one and to his mission and to his will to come to pass. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Jesus is going to get radical followers again, that he's going to get those that are willing to leave everything behind for him, and to the point where they understand that he alone is truly enough. Mm-hmm. Life is so short. We have such a small time, Steve.
That's right.
And we can do great things for God if we live a surrendered life to him.
I think about, too, what you're saying. It's just like there's going to be those that understand the riches of who Jesus is, the wealth of love, the wealth of mercy, the wealth of forgiveness. And I just can't help but I think about a recent discussion that we've had. It's just like, you know, the Bible talks about an analogy of a guy that finds some treasure in a field, and he goes and he joyfully sells all that he has, and he goes and he buys that field because he knows the treasure is there. And I just really feel like what you're saying is just like there's so many revelations about God that we don't know, that we have yet to tap into, that God wants to make known to us, that it's just like we'll willfully give up anything that we think is valuable in this mm-hmm. life because we know the riches in Jesus Christ. We know the wealth of eternity. And just simply, I think about what Paul says is just like, just to know him.
Yeah.
I just want to know him. Like, I just want to know him more. He's that worth it.
Isn't that amazing? I remember, Pat, when you gave your life to the Lord and during that season of the Brownsville Revival, and just that it was such an awesome period of time. But could you ever imagine prior to such an amazing encounter that would cause your entire life to shift? Because, you know, you've seen your life take such mm-hmm. awesome...
You mean prior to giving my life to the Lord?
Right. I mean,
imagine
did you
how
ever...
my life would be. No, I mean, I could not see the future at all. I mean, it was very short-sighted, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
It was not... And even when I gave my life to God, it was like, could you really do anything with me?
Right.
Because you feel so, you know, worthless
right.
at that point because of the life you've lived. But it's just amazing what he's done since then.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You look back and you say, wow, God, mm-hmm. you know, you're amazing because mm-hmm. I didn't see this.
Yeah.
I didn't know the possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, you can't plan this. There's just no way. I mean, the things that he's taught me, the things that I've learned, and just by revelation and by the Holy Spirit and just everything, it's amazing. It's just exciting to see what he's going to do next, really.
Yeah. And it's so true because when you see people that experience God, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really separate those that try to talk about God in their head, but then you know they're people that actually know him. And we want to encourage you today that, listen, God is not about it. The Bible's not just a book about facts and information and truth. It's an actual love letter that's alive. It's a living book that comes with the author and that God desires an intimate relationship with you. I remember the first time I had that revelation. I was just blown away that the God of heaven cared about me that much that he desired to have a relationship with mm-hmm. me. I mean, David said, what is man that you're mindful of him? It just blew me away.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't about, Christianity wasn't about rules, but it was about relationships.
Yeah.
Relationship with God primarily. And that God was bringing me into his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that God had a place for me at the table. God has a place for you at the table. You're a son and a daughter of God. And I got to ask you, you know, are you positioned? Are you positioned for the coming move of God? Number one, do you know him? Is he your very best friend? Is he your Lord, your Savior? Not the man upstairs, not the co-pilot, not the lucky rabbit's foot, not the banker. I'm talking about, is he Lord? Is he Savior? Is he your very best friend? Do you wake up in the morning with him on your mind? Do you go to bed with him on your mind? Are you living your life with a consciousness and awareness that God and his eyes are always on me? We can live in such of that beautiful place in that realm, and out of that flows so many wonderful, amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
Time is short.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest trappings that we have, because you talked about, there was one guy who sold everything just to mm-hmm. buy the field, but then there was another man, a rich man, and he thought that he did all the right stuff. He came mm-hmm. up to Jesus and he says, listen, the laws, you know, I read the Bible. I got some understanding. I've kept this and I've kept this and I've kept this law since I was a young boy. And he wanted to explain to Jesus the goodness that was in him, what he thought was good, that he knew yeah. something about God and he was trusting in what he knew in his head. And Jesus, having a word of knowledge, knew that for him, his true God was his wealth, mm-hmm. was his money. So for him, God gave him the word, listen, you need to sell your possessions, and then come and follow me. It's amazing how this man who was so proud of his religious accomplishments, so proud of what he thought he knew about God, at that point, you know, he dropped the mic and just kept on going. Never mind.
Never mind.
I thought.
Yeah.
And I think America's in that place. We talked about earlier in a previous program about, you know, America's temperature shows that she's theologically sick. She is sick.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know God. And big reason is because she's trapped by the luxuries and the wealth that are in America. She's been drunk on the wealth. She's the away comforts.
And it brings to mind too, it's just like in that same encounter with the rich man and Jesus. He says, you know, go ahead and sell everything and then you'll have true riches. And it's just like, that's, you know, and we talked about it in the previous program. It's just like, that's the inheritance of what life is. It's just like the riches not of this world. The riches not of things and stuff and income and what have you of this world, but the riches of love, the riches of a relationship with Jesus, the riches of knowing him, the riches of faith, the wealth of forgiveness, the wealth of compassion, these things that it's not about what you see, but that which you cannot see, because what you can't see is eternal. And it's just like to think about that. And it's just like, that really puts a lot of things about this world in the paradigm. And it's just like, is that really riches? Or Jesus says, no, come and follow me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And riches, you know, for a lot of people become the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes so prideful in the things that they have, or in the things that they think they know, in knowledge, in information, in wealth, because wealth gives people access to things, people, and stuff. And, you know, one of the greatest things that could happen to us is, you know, if you become so prideful that you can't listen, you become so prideful that you think that what you think you know is right, you know, God has a way in his mercy to allow us to have those aha moments where we kind of run into a wall. And basically, you know, that's what happens when we decide to live a life independent from God. We are eventually going to wreck that car. We are, you know, it's going to happen. The question is, where is that going to happen? I often talk about the person taking a cross-country trip on a spare tire. I mean, that's how many Americans are living their lives. Wow. They're leaving the East Coast, going to California on a spare tire with a false assumption that they're just going to get there. They're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. And the amazing blind faith and the false confidence.
And that tire is bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the question is not if the tire is going to pop. The question is, where is that tire going to pop on you? Mm. Is it going to pop as you're going through Detroit at a certain time of the night? Is it going to pop when you're in the desert of Nevada? Where is that tire going to pop on you where you're going to be stranded, broken, disgusted? And a lot of times when you come to the end of yourself, when you come to that place, all the people that thought it was a good idea for you to be partying and doing your thing and living your life, it's amazing how those people are nowhere around during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that I've seen in broken states, you know where they are? All alone. Alone. And it's interesting that they don't call out for the people that they were partying with and all the old friends and all this. They don't call for those people because they understand that those people are lost too, but they want to know those that have a relationship with God. And what we're trying to just alert you today is, listen, live life for the fullest for God. Make the necessary changes in your life. Position yourself today, number one, to know him, the one true God. And then two, if you know him, to serve him with everything you have in your life. That's our greatest call, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. When we encounter him, the only natural conclusion is, we give you our lives, King Jesus.
Mm.
Have your way, do what you want. And I'm telling you, there's coming a move of God. It's going to sweep across this country, and we're going to see people come in by the droves. You can be a part of it now and be part of the harvest of harvesters, because Jesus said, we already know, the Bible tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You can be a part of this great gathering of souls. Make Jesus your number one priority and watch what he'll get ready to do in your life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.